this episode of Wines to Find, Sin and Michelle were joined by author Kara Joseph and discuss her new book, If Wine Could Talk, while tasting the Black Girl's Magic Rosé and Red Blend. Let's listen.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Sandy.
We're two sisters tasting and reviewing wine with the goal of taking the WTF out of
Wines to Find.
Wines to Find is brought to you by listeners like you. Please consider supporting our podcast and gaining access to bonus content at www.patreon.com/winestofind. That's www.patreon.com/winestofind.
Welcome to episode 86 of Wines to Find. Our wines today are the McBride Sisters Black Girl Magic Rosé and Red Blend. Our guest today is white writer and wine professional Kara Joseph. Kara is a sommelier who has earned her WSET diploma. Kara's new book is called If Wine Could Talk. She's here to tell us all about it. We selected the wines in honor of Kara's book. We're having our very own girls' night out today, Sandy.
We are.
With Kara joining us. We're also sitting here sipping out of some gorgeous painted Lolita wine glasses. And y'all will have to check out the Instagram to see these. They are just fantastic.
They are really cute.
And as we wrap up our episode today, we'll talk more about girls' night out. But first, let's get to talking to Kara and talking about wine number one.
Well, hello, ladies. I am just thrilled to be with you, Michelle and Sandy. I'm excited to listen to you talk about wine and then share a little bit of my story. But thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. We are sitting here getting ready to sip on some of this rosé by the McBride sisters. We chose a rosé particularly because it's kind of that book club theme. That's one of those wines that you would, or that I would like to bring to a book club. So
I actually Googled wine for GNO, and it actually, their tagline is perfect for girls' night out. I was like, that's what we're getting then.
It's sold. You got it. I love it. That's wonderful.
It is a very dark pink. It is not that provincial style at all. It's almost the Tavel color.
Mm-hmm. And it has some stickiness to the glass. So I have a feeling it's going to have some little bit of sugar to it, a little bit of alcohol.
And it definitely has a bouquet already. The aroma is already coming out. Lots of florals and fruits and
I think I'm going to like it.
Yeah,
let's taste.
Oh.
It's got a little tingle as you.
Has a little acidity. That's good. And watermelon-y.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I wasn't expecting watermelon. Very nice. Very nice. Well, Kara, how did you get involved with wine?
Absolutely. And I have to say, I love whenever I get to share an experience, hearing people talk about wine, it always gets me very excited because, you know, that's how I started my wine journey, is just by being around the kitchen table with my parents and hearing to them, you know, talk about wine like you all just did, you know, giving the opinion, giving thoughts, maybe a surprise, maybe it was just that very simple act of listening to my parents talk about wine after they had gone to Napa for the first time. So I was a University of Florida student with no aspirations of wine, with not even studying the wine. I was studying communications and my parents had gone to Napa. They came back to Jacksonville, Florida. They brought wines and they brought the stories. And that was really my origin of interest and intrigue with what is so special about this beverage and how is it that, you know, we can communicate and talk about it. And it just, it has a bit of mystery and magic to it that I needed to learn more about.
So you got the bug. And what year in school were you? Were you pretty young in school or were you like?
Well, I was toward the tail end. So I was a senior at the University of Florida. And
I would say go Gators, but I prefer the Gamecocks.
Oh no. Okay. We can still be friends. We can all say go wine. That's what we can all say. But I love it. Yeah. So, but luckily, you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, how did you make that decision graduating to not do anything in relation to your major, but actually start a journey in wine? And it really to this day, I think there's something elusive about wine. There was something elusive about my decision. But as I mentioned, it was just this, I started taking the wine to dinner parties and doing cheese nights and in college, where of course I was very atypical, you know, in Gainesville, beer town, no one's really doing the wine. And I just remember, even in my simple way, probably buying cooking wine, the cheapest wine, knowing nothing about it, I was still able to kind of see this spark in people's eyes when I would talk about wine or share wine or teach them, you know, how to quote unquote taste wine with me. And I think that's what really started me out needing to learn more about it.
Is that when you went and got your W set?
No. So what happens next is I'm about a month out from graduation. So I have this fascination, I have this interest, but never really shared any future goals with it. I was at lunch with my mom, and you two both probably have, you know, you've had relationships with your mom. They know when something's wrong. They know when something's up. And we were at lunch, and she could see my uncertainty with the future. And she asked me a very important question that I think I wish everyone would be asked in their young adult lives. She said, "What would you do if you could do anything?" And I thought, maybe I'll just say the answer she wants to hear about, you know, I'm going to get a job in marketing communications and settle down. But something in me just said, you know, I have to tell the truth. So I said, I'd move to Napa Valley. I would learn about wine and I would try to make a life of it, make a future. Mind you, I don't know anyone in Napa Valley. I have no experience with wine. I have no potential job and I've never even lived out of Florida. And the only thing she said was do it. And that's what put all the wheels in motion to get the job in Napa, decide to commit to it and drive all the way across the country to start this journey that I had no idea where it would go. And then once I was in Napa, I started all my studies and all of that.
So did you get a job with a winery or?
I did. I did a mass email. Once I decided and I heard my mom say, do it. And I kind of got that, maybe it's crazy, but maybe I can do this.
Well, that's a pivotal moment. And that was pretty impressive that your mom could say that and not feel a fear of you leaving too, particularly because, you know, it is a long way away. That's
right. And you know what we can also say about her is I'm sure she was petrified. But I think she knew if she had said, oh, Kara, that's a sweet dream. Maybe you'll do it later. I think she knew that I'd always regret it and that she would feel a little bit like
she held you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's so great. That's awesome.
I respect her for that. Yeah. And I mean, that's the beauty of wine. It can lead to moments like this, that's more than just getting, you know, having alcohol or anything like that. That to me is what makes wine a little bit different, is that it can have moments like these and in intertwined with wine. But to speak to the job question, that's a very important question. I sent my, you know, this email with my resume, with what I was hoping to do in Napa, to probably 50 or so wineries, maybe more. I got 3 responses. Cause who cares about a girl from Florida that has no experience with wine, that is just kind of making this journey to wine country. But I ended up getting a job with Inglenook, or it was Rubicon. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Inglenook in Napa. So I got a job as a bistro associate, which just means I was in the bottom of the barrel in their kind of bistro area, just pouring wines by the glass. But you know, you have to start from the very bottom. And that's where I started.
And I bet you just were a sponge and you just soaked up whatever you could.
I'll tell you what, I did. And that's when, you know, I was able to just realize that if I worked hard enough and if I learned enough, I could maybe make a bit more of a career and a more of a solid life choice with wine.
Well, if you have a marketing background, I bet that's helpful for the wineries. Did you end up wanting to go that route with the wine industry?
Well, that's another excellent question, because I had this pivotal moment, which, you know, another part of wine that's so alluring to me is that I had this choice, because I'd been with Inglenook for about 3 months at that point. So it was just getting to the point where, all right, maybe you've lived out your fantasy, you lived out your dream, go get a job with, so I actually had an interview with Disney for their marketing department. I went to Burbank, drove all the way down there, and I had to make a decision. I had to decide, do I just start doing what I was quote unquote supposed to do, or do I try to become a certified sommelier? So this was the fork in the road. And another, I swear the people that are in your life are there for a reason, because I had an interview with a woman and her name was Marika. And she asked me at the end of the, she said, you know, you're qualified, you could do this, but you talk so much about wine and your passion and what you're doing now. Do you want to be a sommelier or do you want to do this?
So and once again, she could hear it too.
She could feel it too. And once again, I said, oh my goodness, I want to be a sommelier. And it was crazy. It was another just, you know, I think people can sense it. And that when they ask the right questions and when you kind of say the answer that you know is right, it just keeps propelling you along.
So then you, I'm assuming now this is where you went and got your sommelier.
That was it. It really was that moment where I had to decide between the normal, settled, classic lifestyle and this sommelier wine life. I decided to make it the career and really go for the certifications and work through the Court of Master Sommeliers and work through the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, or WSET. And it was then I never looked back. I never looked back.
So then did you start writing along with it? Because I mean, actually a communications degree does go very well with the
hand in hand here.
Right. Amazing how, you know, walking away from that, it still kind of finds its way back into my life in a good way. So once again, excellent question, but in no way, shape or form, if you'd asked that past self, I guess it would have been 5 or 6 years ago, if I was going to write a book, I would have said, absolutely not, no way. But the most interesting part is that I was living and kind of creating the story that I would then feel the need to write down. So I think during that time, I was too busy living the moments and remembering them and having them have a deep impact on me that I don't think I was ready to write any of it down until I got to a different part in life. And then I decided, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you two probably more than two people as well, we all have a story that I believe deep down that everyone needs to share and write down and share with the world. And mine just happened to kind of have the need to be written down, I guess, a little bit earlier in my life as a, you know, 20-ish year old woman in my 20s.
So tell us about the story, because it's actually a really cool concept. If wine could talk, and just kind of walk us through where the inspiration came from. And
absolutely,
it sounds like it might be a little autobiographical.
it's definitely has some raw moments, some authenticity, some very, a lot of storytelling. So the real impetus for the book was when I lived in New York. So as once everyone reads the book, you'll kind of see that journey from college to Napa and then to New York. So when I was in New York, I was teaching wine classes. I was teaching 3 wine classes a day, almost every day. So just one after the other. And what would happen is I would teach about wine and I would really hone that skill. But then, you know, as people drank a little, tasted a little bit more, and as we got to know each other, the conversation would always turn into, well, tell us about you. What are you all about? And then I would find myself telling the same stories and talking about the same experiences that I felt really resonated with people. And then, you know, I kept hearing the same questions about wine over and over, all these different topics of wine. People would ask the same questions. So at the end of kind of my New York life, I had all this raw material of all the stories that I was really able to kind of put into sequence and that I felt people really resonated with. And then I had all these curiosity questions about wine. So I decided, all right, I'm going to put it together and I'm going to have each chapter of the book be dedicated to one part, my personal narrative story, and then one part, all the wine education questions that people had. So for instance, chapter number one is the kind of the origins I told you. So why wine? And then the next sequence or the next part of the chapter are all about wine basics. So five questions about the wine basics. And then chapter two, same format, that you get the continuation of the story, like what happens next. But then you also get, you know, dinner parties and restaurants is your topic. And you'll get your five commonly asked questions and your answers to build the foundation. Like, how do you order wine in a restaurant? Or what kind of wine do you bring to a dinner party? Things like that.
So that's fun because it's a story and it's your story, yeah,
but it's educational all at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. So I hope people learn a little something. Yeah. So that kind of worked out.
So now you are currently going around because it's not out for sale yet. When does it come out? September?
Right. Right. So it is going to be September 21st that we have the live in hand copies available. So for right now, I am doing kind of a similar moment of needing to get out there, take a bit of a risk, take a bit of a chance. So I'm just traveling to different cities in the month of August and, you know, reconnecting with friends or meeting with different bookstores, local bookstores and wine shops and restaurants to just try to create events again and do education. And then I'll be, you know, all the planning and then the book will be released and then I'll be able to kind of actually go through and carry out all the events that I've been trying to get going.
Well, this will definitely be a book that is perfect for a book clubs because mm-hmm. people, you know, whenever you go to book club, you got to drink wine.
Of course. I'm hoping that people are.
And then so to be most able to learn about what you're drinking and answer some of those questions, I think that this will be perfect for a book club.
It will. Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I was just going to say a lot of times people don't even read the book. They just drink the wine, but I think this one's going to be one that people will actually read.
I was going to say, it'll make the drinking of the wine even more fun. They can do that, but they'll have a little more context behind it. That's great. Yeah. I'm hoping people really resonate and connect with the story, but also feel like they learned something. I think that's great.
Well, we enjoyed learning your story and we can't wait to I would love to get a copy of it so we can take a picture.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, both of you are going to be getting copies from me as soon as I have my physical copies, because my goodness, I love getting to meet you guys and share this time together.
So exciting for you. And we'll connect. For the listener, we were talking before we started recording and she's in Atlanta and going to be in Columbia where we are like this week. And we're like, okay, we're going to have to see each other
right in
person.
I know, right? A little surprise trip to Columbia. And I said, we're meeting up. We're doing wine. We have to.
That's right. Wine in person.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we wish you the best success and we'll connect.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michelle and Sandy.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So that was fun talking to Kara. Her book sounds really cool.
And she's a bundle of energy. I can just imagine her flitting around a restaurant, talking to everybody, telling all the stories and getting you really excited about wine. I think that's one of the advantages whenever you do go have this sommelier come to your table. They just know so much and they want to share everything they know with you. And it just lights them up, which then allows you to even experience the wine even more because of those stories their energy and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So let's go ahead and look at wine number two, which is a red blend.
It
smells lovely.
It's a very dark, almost purple, but
it still has some translucent. I can see my fingers through it.
Yeah.
So it's not like some are deep, 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 deep. It's not that.
And a red on the edges, but then as it gets deeper in the glass, it's definitely
And the ABV is 13.5.
That's
so
not too bad.
That's not bad. So when I saw that, I thought, okay, good, because they label this as a good girls' night out wine.
It smells like that. It smells like a crowd pleaser.
It definitely has a lot of jammy.
Yeah, let's taste it.
Oh, it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
That good will go easy down. Drinking.
I was going to say that'll go down easy. A fun crowd pleaser that you could bring to a something that would have a bunch of gals, and it would satisfy everybody's kind of tastes.
Definitely, because it's not too tannic, but yet it still dries out. I do have some drying on my cheeks, and it has that good fruit forward that a lot of people enjoy. And it would go with a bunch of different foods, which when you go to a potluck girls night kind of thing, you don't know what's going to be there. You want something that'll that's versatile.
So. Yep. So very nice. This is very good. By the way, this one is $24.99 and the rosé was $17.99 just for price points for everybody.
So that's a good, that's not too bad.
Yep.
So we also have these Lolita glasses and we connected with Lolita. She's another Instagram. Somehow we came across her Insta. She's got like 15,000 followers. She's crazy. And, we were like, well, we love your stuff. And she said, we love your stuff. And then, we ended up with some glasses and we were going to have Lolita scheduled to be on, but she's a very busy lady and we couldn't work out the schedules, but we are very appreciative of these glasses and you have to check them out on Instagram. They're very cool.
And they're available in a lot of different places and they make great gifts.
Hostess gifts for the GNO night.
And if you are at a book club and everybody has their own Lolita glass, it's kind of like a built-in charm. And
because everybody knows everybody's whose different. Glasses is
yeah.
Whose.
And at yep. the bottom of the glasses are the cocktail recipes. Each one has a different cocktail recipe. Michelle, what does this one here
this
have?
This one is 1.5 ounces of vodka, half an ounce of lemon juice, half an ounce of basil simple syrup, and then fill with white wine.
Excellent. Yeah. So you get extra little tips too on the bottom of your glass.
And this glass is it's called Organica is the drink that she has there. So that's that. Okay. So yeah, it's a fun hostess gift. If you do Christmas time, one of those white elephant gifts, it's a good one to get stolen.
And it comes in a little cylinder container. Like we said, check out Instagram. You probably have seen them because they're in lots of different places.
They are.
So,
So speaking of girls' night out, so what's those are always fun to do. And there's book clubs, there's wine clubs. We're partial to the wine club.
Bunko,
that's always fun. So that when you have those excuses to get together with the gals, you do always look for a wine that's pleasant and that will be a crowd pleaser. And if you're bringing it to share. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we selected these wines.
Yeah, we think that both of these, after having tasted them, that they would definitely fit the bill. A rosé is always nice and fun. What would you rate this rosé, Michelle?
So I thought it was fun. I can see it going with lots of food, which would be good. I can see it being good on a summer day. It's a little bit sweeter than what I would usually do. But if I'm taking it to something where I would give it a crowd rating and then a me rating in terms of if I'm buying for a large group and I would not bring a dry one that I might would like because those don't always appeal to everyone. So on the scale of appealing to everyone, I would probably give it a 3.5 corker because I think it's a good crowd pleaser. For me personally, I would give it 3 because I just like the drier style.
You're the more Provence style.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm going to go 3.5 for this because I do like, I would even want to put, now you're not supposed to, but since this is GNO, I would even put some sparkling water in this.
Oh, to give it a little bit of fizz.
To give it a little bit of fizz and make it a spritzer.
That would be fun. And it did have a little some acidity to it that was pleasant there at the front and it made your tongue tingle. So a little bit more would be a good, or to mix it with a cocktail on a GNO. It would be, if you need a rosé for that, this would be a really good one because it's not going to be so dry. It'll
what about
well.
Our red blend here?
I think this one's fun. I would probably give it a 3.5. I think it's a great, you want that pleasing red wine. That's a cab is going to be too much. Like we talked when Donna was on in Curated Cellars, she talked about how red blends are kind of coming more to the forefront because they are crowd pleasers and they go with so many things. This one kind of fits that bill. And I'd say, for again, if I'm doing something for an event, a 3.5 for me personally, maybe a 3, but 3.5 for the purpose.
Right. Yeah. I definitely think, like you said, this is a great crowd pleaser. So I would definitely buy it again for that. For me personally, I would give it a 3 because, I think for $24.99, there are other wines that I would rather have. So that's what So that price point kind of pushes it to where I would look for something else.
Right. Right. But it is a good one. And they have a fun story. We'd love to have them on. We've heard they've been on some podcasts. And we'd like to chat with them. But anyway, so that's a fun, if you are looking for a girls' night out, we gave you some good options. And if you do have a book club, check out If Wine Could Talk. If you have a book club that also has a little wine habit or wine interest, that would be a fun one. And Kara definitely was a fun, interesting story. And I think that book will be great.
And if you like this episode, share it with someone that enjoys books or wine or both and fun wine glasses. Also, if you would like to give us a rating, please do so. It really does help us with our numbers, you know.
It definitely helps. And that you can rate us on Audible or on iTunes.
Exactly.
Written ratings.
So we hope you join us next time on Wines Defined.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Wines Defined. For today's show notes, visit us at www.pickagreatwine.com. Follow us on social media for bonus and live content. Instagram at Wines Defined Podcast, Facebook at Wines Defined, and Twitter at Wines Defined. And don't forget to join us next time on Wines Defined.